Have you noticed? I make some weird theme music, don't I? Mixing harmonica with a choir. Well, why not? Well, welcome to Picton's Podcast, and tonight's is The Cure for Worry. Bit of a mixed bag, but hopefully some good stuff. Let's start off with the Serenity Prayer. A huge cliche found on tea towels around the world in gift shops, but incredibly helpful considering its humble origins. Everyone's heard the Serenity Prayer a million times. I bet you've never heard of the man who wrote it. Reinhold Niebuhr, an otherwise unknown theologian, penned the Serenity Prayer as recently as 1932. It sounds like something that go back to ancient times. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Epictetus had written something similar, likewise Shantideva, Solomon Ibn Gabriel, Bartley and Schiller. So perhaps it does touch on a universal truth from the collective unconscious. But it does take a little practice to master the serenity part. Thinking of Seinfeld, Serenity Now. You should aim for your survival first. It's the layers at the base of Maslow's pyramid below that count first. The higher ones are just fancy icing. In Maslow's pyramid, the most fundamental and basic four layers contain what Maslow called deficiency needs or D needs. These are esteem, friendship and love, security and physical needs. If these deficiency needs are not met, with the exception of the most fundamental, physiological needs, there may not be a physical indication, but the individual will feel anxious and tense. Maslow's theory suggests that the most basic levels of needs must be met before the individual will strongly desire or focus motivation upon the secondary or higher level needs. There are so many unwanted needs constantly generated in a consumer society, you will never end up chasing them like a hungry ghost. I recently read Darren Brown's Happy, Why More or Less Everything is Absolutely Fine. A good read, stoic heavy, philosophy also beloved of Tim Ferriss. A good extract here from a writer called William Irvin, who provided the thought experiment in On Desire, Why We Want What We Want, which may give some perspective regarding trying to compete with others and keeping up with the Joneses, with some added thoughts from Darren. Suppose you woke up one morning to discover you were the last person on Earth. During the night, aliens had spirited away everyone but you. Suppose that despite the absence of other people, the world's buildings, houses, stores and roads remained as they'd been the night before. Cars were where their now vanished owners had parked them, and petrol for these cars was plentiful at now unattended petrol stations. The electricity still worked. It would be a world like this world, except that everything and everyone but you was gone. You would, of course, be very lonely, but let us ignore the emotional aspects of being the last person. Instead, focus our attention on the material aspects. In this situation described, you could satisfy many material desires that you can't satisfy in our actual world. You could have the car of your dreams. You could even have a showroom full of expensive cars. You could have the house of your dreams or live in a palace. You could wear very expensive clothes. You could acquire not just a big diamond, but the Hope Diamond itself. The interesting question is this. Without people around, would you still want these things? Would the material desires you harboured when the world was full of people still be present in you if other people vanished? Probably not. Without anyone else to impress, why own an expensive car, a palace, fancy clothes or jewellery? Irving continues to suggest that, alone in this imagined world, you might try these interest in your appearance. The thought experiment shows that we choose our lifestyles, our houses, our clothes, our watches, with other people in mind. One way or another, we project a style designed to make others admire or envious. That style may not, of course, be about what's strictly fashionable. We will have some sort of image we like to project, and whether that image is trendy, tweedy, or just a mess, there will be something we're identifying with and choosing to show the world. We cannot really criticize the fashion victim for being a slave to convention when we are living according to an equally well-defined alternative protocol, however heretical or hipster or hyper it might be. We've all drawn out our style references and aesthetics from somewhere. And if we say we never give any conscious thought to what we wear, the chances are very high we at least dress a lot like others in our peer group. We've all seen friends walking along the street sporting minor variations on the same wardrobe. Irving's thought exercise shows that our desires would diminish drastically if we didn't need to impress anyone. Our requirements would probably become limited to what we might think of as natural or essential desires, food, water, shelter, and so on. This does not sound like a particularly pleasant existence or a lifestyle we'd choose, but we'd certainly be liberated from a desire to impress others. We might find this notion that we spend so much energy and time seeking the approval of our peers quite eye-opening. Black Mirror, Season 3, Episode 1, Nosedive, available on Netflix, is also worth a watch in terms of the horrid nonsense of competing on social media. Going back to more ancient times still, even before the Stoics, we have the way of the Tao, aka Taoism. Not resisting, going with the flow, is based on the Tao Te Ching, not to be confused with the equally mysterious divination system called the I Ching. The Tao Te Ching is just 5,000 Chinese characters in 81 verses packed with wisdom from 500 years before the Christian era, which seems to borrow from it. The legendary author was Lao Tzu, contemporary of Confucius, who spoke of him as a dragon, Socrates, Zoroaster, and the writers of the Bhagavad Gita. Here are some quotes. "Under heaven, nothing is more soft and yielding than water. Yet for attacking the solid and strong, nothing is better. It has no equal. The weak can overcome the strong. The supple can overcome the stiff. Under heaven, everyone knows this. Yet no one puts it into practice. Stop thinking and end your problems. What difference between yes and no? What difference between success and failure? Must you value what others value? Fear what others fear? What nonsense. Without going outside, you may know the whole world. Without looking through the window, you may see the ways of heaven. The farther you go, the less you know. Thus the sage knows without travelling, he sees without looking, he works without doing. If you realise that all things change, there is nothing you'll try to hold on to. After a bitter quarrel, some resentment remains. Someone must risk returning injury with kindness, or hostility will never turn to goodwill. Be content with what you have, rejoice in the way things are. When you realise there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. If you want to be a great leader, you must learn to follow the Tao. Stop trying to control. Let go of fixed plans and concepts, and the world will govern itself. The more prohibitions you have, the less virtuous people will be. I let go of the law, and people become honest. Clay is shaped into a bowl, but it is the empty space that makes it useful. Care about what others think, and you'll always be their prisoner. Whatever is flexible and flowing will tend to grow. Whatever is rigid and blocked will wither and die. New beginnings are often disguised as painful endings. A good traveller has no fixed plans and is not intent on arriving. Be like water. To the mind that is still, the whole universe surrenders. Returning to the source is serenity. If you try to change it, you will ruin it. Try to hold it, and you will lose it." Those are some profound thoughts from thousands of years ago. I leave them with you. Goodbye for now.